The share of the U.S. population affiliated with any religion dropped by 13% between 2020, nope, between 2010 and 2020, according to Pew Research. So where do we find community and belonging in an increasingly secular society? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss that question and whether atheists can find community in congregations are Mount Auburn Presbyterian pastor Lucinda Isaacs, Clifton United Methodist pastor Robert English, and American Atheists president Nick Fish. Thank you all for being here today.
Great. Thanks to be here.
Good to be here. Good to be
Thank
here.
You, Lucy.
Nick, you're the president of American Atheists. How do you personally define an atheist? How is that different from an agnostic?
Sure. You know, an atheist is just somebody who lacks a belief in God. And I think we often get a little hung up on exactly how people define themselves. It's really important to us that people recognize that atheists are not a monolith, that there are a variety of ways that people arrive at lack of belief or having a foundation of what they base their life around. And ultimately, these distinctions don't really matter because identity is complex. We think the most inclusive definition is simply someone who lacks a belief in God, and that's it. But there are a lot of common things that atheists share, whether it's shared values, shared commitment to helping each other, finding joy and compassion in the here and now, and a commitment to building a better future. That's what my atheism is. It's what I'm, if you'll pardon the expression, called to do by my atheism. And I think that that's a really common experience for a lot of people in my generation as a millennial. I think that's, if you look at the numbers, that's really common.
Pastor Isaacs, I mentioned that Pew Research found that from 2010 to 2020, the share of the population affiliated with any religion dropped 13% in the United States. Have you seen that decline play out in church attendance?
I think it's been a topic of conversation in faith communities that I've served and kind of across across the nation and denominations. And sometimes people in congregations get a little anxious about it, but I always invite the opportunity to find new ways to make meaning together and new ways to think about our own identity and how we offer belonging to others. And when I speak about belonging, what I'm talking about is allowing people to know their inherent worth and value, to create connection among one another, and to feel empowered by those things. And so that's been the conversation that I often have with my faith communities.
Yeah. Pastor English, what do you think? Has all of this translated into a rise in secularism?
Yeah, I think that there. I previously served churches in California, and it was kind of the home of spiritual but not religious, and folks who identified as non-committed to a faith tradition. And it presented a unique opportunity for the church to meet people where they're at and to co-create that opportunity to build a better world together. And so that's been my commitment and the commitment to the churches that I've served. And there's many people in my church and here in Clifton who come for a variety of different reasons. There's a variety of different perspectives. I often say pretty regularly, you don't have to believe what I believe to belong here. I try and be honest and open about what I believe and how my beliefs have changed and grown over time, modeling for our people how they can do the same in community and with people in their lives.
We're talking about atheists in search of community and whether some are finding it at church. What do you think? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Nick, do you feel comfortable telling us kind of your personal journey for becoming an atheist? Did you always know you were one? What was that like for you?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think that my experience is really common and is becoming increasingly common where we're people in my generation and younger. So again, millennials, Gen Z, a lot of folks are being raised without a formal religious community, but we're still looking for a community. And what we're looking for are communities that are creating, as the pastor said, a welcoming and inclusive environment where the inherent dignity and worth of everybody is embraced and valued. And sadly, we're not finding it in churches occasionally, and too often churches are becoming politicized or being used as a cudgel to attack people that believe differently or divide us. And people are just tired of that hypocrisy. They're tired of the lack of authenticity that they're seeing. They're tired of the judgment. And what they want is joy. They want fun. They want people who are going to value them as an individual and celebrate that difference and not view that as an inherent threat, which is why many of our groups are, you know, embracing new models of community and finding something and creating something that looks radically different in some ways than the way that some congregational churches look, but in many ways look similar. And my journey was basically that. I wasn't raised in any particular religious denomination, though I am an Eagle Scout. I was in the Scouts, and so we had some of that as well. But I saw the value of having a community, having a place to go, which is what we're trying to build at American Atheists and what many of our groups all across the country are building every single day, whether it's, you know, having a place to come on the weekends, or a place where you can bring your kids to make sure that they're included and welcome, or where you can give back to the broader community by participating in a food bank or service projects, or just going camping and not worrying about, you know, whether or not you're going to be ostracized or be challenged because you believe something different on this often very taboo subject that, you know, somebody wants to debate you on it. You know, I just want to go camping. I want to go stargazing without having to get into this argument. And that's what many of our groups do. And I really love it. I think it's fantastic.
I want to give the pastors in the studio a chance to respond to that. Do either of you have thoughts you want to share about what Nick has just talked about in terms of that looking for that belonging, but then not finding it in church sometimes?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely chime in there. So at Clifton United Methodist Church, we have a statement of inclusion and welcome that has guided our congregation for many, many years. And part of that is offering a welcome and a hospitality to folks who have a difference of faith perspective. We recognize that the church has done harm in the world by being divisive in how we present and how we express our faith. And so Clifton is very aware of that and is a congregation of people who really have a commitment to inclusion and hospitality and welcome and finding a place and a community of belonging, a deep belonging. And so we recognize that. And what that has meant for us is that we have folks who do come from a variety of different faith perspectives and non-faith perspectives who find a home at Clifton and who participate and engage in our congregational life in a variety of different ways, similar to what Nick was just sharing, opportunities to serve our neighbors and passion for fighting food insecurity and other justice opportunities that people really, they find a heart space for that, and they pursue that in and through our congregation, you know, in the diversity of their faith perspective or non-faith perspective.
Yeah. And at Mount Auburn Presbyterian Church, we realized a few years ago when we were updating our belonging statement is that we lead with belonging. For a long time, churches were structured in a way that the first thing you were supposed to do was believe, and then you would adapt your behavior based on your beliefs, and then you would belonging would be kind of like a reward at the end. So first you believe, then you behave, and then you belong. But what we really realized, what we've been doing in practice for a long time, is first offering a sense of belonging, allowing for a sense of becoming, and then we want to not lead into belief as much as love. So our mission at Mount Auburn is belong, become, be love. And that's a really important distinction, I think, because even between a lot of times discussions about belief become about what we're thinking and feeling. And I'm really curious about what we're being and doing. Mm. And that's why we kind of shifted that from believe to be love. Yeah. And how do we enact that in the world?
Pastor English, you mentioned that you have a diversity of viewpoints in your church, including people who of non-faith. Right. Does that mean atheists? Do you have atheists that you're aware of in your congregation? And
We do have some folks who I would identify as atheists. It's not a huge, I don't want to misrepresent, it's not a huge part of our congregation. But we have folks who come who maybe were raised in a United Methodist Church background and find deep meaning in the practices of the church, whether they find a meaning that informs a faith or a belief in God or not. They find meaning in the rituals of making music in community, of co-creating spaces of beauty and joy. They find sermons to be interesting, whether or not it informs a belief. They find them to be stimulating and thoughtful, exploring, you know, history of theology or history of biblical criticism and how that informs how people can embody, like my friend and colleague said, a posture of love and openness in building and co-creating a better world. So I think that people find a tremendous amount of meaning in those things. And one thing that was shared with me a long time ago in one of the first churches that I served was the practice of what's called the Christian calendar, a Christian year. And someone said they found tremendous meaning in that, even though they didn't believe a lot of things that I believe. But just defining the year, you know, counter to this capitalistic, consumeristic culture that we live in, instead of marking our calendars by what we're supposed to consume toward, they would mark their calendars based on these ancient rhythms of community that were really meaningful for them, even if it didn't inform a deeper sense of connection to a God of their own understanding.
Mm-hmm. Nick, can you talk a little bit more about discussing non-faith communities, just different groups that are, you know, made for people who are not there to talk about some kind of religious belief. Can you talk to us about those?
Yeah, absolutely. What the pastors have just said here, I think is really illustrative of the people who find meaning in hearing from someone who knows more about a topic than they do. People who find meaning in and joy from creating music together or being in a space to find joy in the beauty of the natural world. That's what our communities typically organize themselves around. And what we encourage folks to do is to be really receptive to meeting the needs of the people who make up their community and not being kind of top-down directive and telling people, this is exactly the way that you have to structure your community. I often joke with folks that, you know, I'm not, as the president of American Atheists, I'm not the Pope of Atheism. I don't have any extremely ornate hats, which is to my great regret. I wish I did. But at the same time, what we do know and what we have found is that there are areas of programming that we encourage folks to lean into and meet the needs of the people that they represent. So we structure that around building community internally, doing education to help expand our knowledge of the world around us, engaging in service to help each other, but also to help the community around us, but also activism. I think one of the areas that folks who I've talked to who have left churches, even really affirming churches, is they find community, they enjoy that, they may enjoy, you know, some of the structure and the rhythm and the rites and rituals, but they feel that it's not engaged enough in the world around them. Or if it is, it's sort of in a superficial way, and they really want to make a big difference in their community, whether that's going out and protesting abuses of our rights by, you know, groups like ICE, or, you know, just getting out there and engaging with the school board or the local city board, because they do care about making the world a better place, not just right this moment, but for future generations. And so when we're helping people build and organize a new community, those are sort of the four areas that we encourage them to get involved in: activism, community, education, and service.
Nick, you mentioned people in your community really tapping into learning from others who know more about, you know, who are experts on their topic or know more about some part of the world that they want to explore. Is that a connection to science almost? I mean, do you see a connection there between atheism and science and that questioning and exploration?
It definitely can be. I went, when I was in Los Angeles recently, I attended an event that our group, Atheists United, did that was an evening-long event and tour of the telescope that overlooks Los Angeles. And we had a tour of the history of it. It wasn't anything to do with the science. It was how this came to be, why this was here. And then we spent the entire night until almost 2 in the morning doing stargazing and listening to someone who knows an awful lot about astronomy and was a docent who understood optics and was an expert in the lenses, but also someone, another person who was manning the telescope itself. And so, you know, the joy that we find and the connection that we find to the broader universe can take that angle looking at science, but it also can be things like better understanding our history. I just did an event last night talking about the history of religious pluralism and religious freedom in the United States with two people who, one who is the leader of a Quaker museum here in Philadelphia, and another who was educated at seminary and now runs an organization called the Dialogue Institute, to make sure that folks are talking across religious difference, because, you know, these are folks who understand the history of religious freedom and religious pluralism in the United States in a way that I don't. And I think it's important for us to recognize and celebrate that level of understanding, because the literacy, understanding our own faith traditions, understanding our own history, is shockingly low in this country. Mm. And anything we can do to improve that, I think, helps promote good discussion and better understanding and better collaboration across those differences. And quite frankly, is much more exciting and much more interesting when we don't all view things the same way, and we can celebrate and lean in on that difference.
Pastor Isaacs, I think for a lot of people, the joy of listening to a good sermon is that you're listening to somebody who knows more about something than you do. Can you talk about the role of the sermon and its purpose in your congregation at a service?
Yeah. So when I think about the religious, the religious kind of the diversity of different belief backgrounds and faith backgrounds in my congregation, when I think about preaching, what I realize what I'm doing is trying to proclaim the Christian gospel. And for me, again, I think a part of our commitment to belonging is part of that proclamation, right? Which is reminding people of their inherent worth and dignity and allowing people to connect and being empowered by that dignity and that belonging and connection. So for me, preaching in a place with all these different backgrounds allows me to explore different sources a little bit and to do so with some integrity. But also, you know, we're a congregation that doesn't assume that we have all the answers and that we are working from Jesus's teachings of love, justice, and peace. And so when I am preaching, what I'm trying to do is tell this ancient story that we've been wrestling with for millennia and see what impact it has on our world. And what I'm not trying to do is like work towards like the least common denominator of everyone's different perspectives and faith backgrounds. But really what I'm trying to do is go deep within my own tradition and to share to share that with truth and honesty and authenticity. Yeah. And I think that's what people find engaging. So I like to use a lot of narrative, like to use poetry. And I like to ask a lot of questions because we're a congregation full of people who are eager to ask questions.
Pastor English, do you think there is a role that a sermon can play for a non-believer in the congregation?
Yeah, I think that I was told early on in my ministry that you never preach just one sermon on a Sunday. You preach as many sermons as people that are there. You know, people receive that moment. In that shared moment, it's deeply personal and it's not individualistic. So I do know folks who over the years, I've been honored to be their pastors and to serve and to lead in a congregation that they've been part of, that they have shared that there are things that they find that are meaningful or that are stimulating, that are thoughtful, even if they don't share the same tradition or practice or belief that I do. And so I do think that a sermon can open up new opportunities for all of us to engage in meaning making, both personally and communally, that can stimulate us and that can encourage us and challenge us to grow. And then I'm also aware that after I've talked for like 15 or 20 minutes, that it's my role too as pastor to listen. and to receive how that is living in people and the ways in which they're processing or pushing back on things that I might have said or things that they might have heard, and that that dialogue and that conversation leads to a deeper sense of community and relationship. And it also inspires us all to grow in our understanding of who we are in the world and how we might relate to one another in this posture of love and peace.
Yeah. Nick, I'm going to let everybody have a peek behind the curtain here for just a minute, because our producer pitched this idea to you, this idea that maybe atheists searching for community could find it in a congregation. And she said, you told her you do not buy that argument of church as a way for atheists to find community, or at least for a lot of atheists to find community. Can you explain why?
Yeah, it's not that I don't buy it. I know that there are many atheists. This is key to understanding the atheists in the United States, is that we are not a monolith and we all arrive at our atheism in different ways. For some people, it's undergoing just profound religious and spiritual trauma on their way out while they were in community or while they were believing. You know, an important part of this is people can change their beliefs. And in many cases, people tell me that they've experienced levels of trauma that I can't begin to understand fully, that I didn't, and I'm grateful that I didn't. But at the same time, that's why it's so important for me to uplift those stories and acknowledge that there is this harm. And I was so heartened to hear my fellow guests talking about that and having the humility to understand that that's a common experience for too many people, and we need to do better as community leaders. And we're not immune from it either as atheists. And so it's not that I don't buy it. It's that I wasn't raised in it, so I don't find that same level of meaning and connection to, you know, the liturgical calendar or to sermons. I find it by performing acts of service with my community, by going out and enjoying the arts with my community. But it has nothing to do with the broader religious context. But again, I want to have the humility to say that my experience is not the one way to be an atheist in America today, and to celebrate and acknowledge the value that people find in joining a community, whether that's one of the great communities that my colleagues here are leading, and I'm so grateful for that people in Cincinnati have that opportunity, or whether it's Unitarian congregations that I speak at all the time because they explicitly welcome in atheists and humanists, or whether that's atheist communities that are explicitly atheist and humanist from the get-go and do not structure themselves as congregational in that way, that there are lots of ways to have really meaningful connections with each other in community.
Sure. And certainly for someone who's experienced trauma related to a religious institution, it's understandable why they wouldn't want to find community in that institution.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I have been talking with American Atheists President Nick Fish, Clifton United Methodist Pastor Robert English, and Mount Auburn Presbyterian Pastor Lucinda Isaacs. Thank you all so much for your time today and for this fascinating conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.